If you wish to follow along, turn to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. I will read one verse. In this verse is found my subject and my title. And then we will read through the verses as we go along. Verse 26 of Exodus 32. This is kind of the central theme of what we call this chapter, chapter 32. Verse 26 reads this way. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, here it is, who is on the Lord's side?
Amen.
Who is on the Lord's side? That's a very pertinent question, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
But Moses required more than verbal assent. You see it? Moses required more. The circumstances required far more than mere verbal assent. Well, I'm on the Lord's side. That's all well and great. That's all well and great. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me.
Yes.
You see that?
Right.
I want you to think about that. Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. I want to try and examine, I say 6 points, it's really more examine 6 statements that I'm going to make concerning this chapter, that is Exodus chapter 32. Number one, we'll get right to it. Number one, how impatient is our flesh? How impatient is our flesh? Verse 1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down, remember he was there 40 days and 40 nights. That's a good spot of time.
Yes, sir.
And there are these thunderings and lightnings, and no one can approach the mount.
Right.
No one can go find out, where's Moses really at? You see it? Now, the human mind says, well, this is a reasonable thing, what we're going to read about here in verse 1. It is not reasonable when it appertains to God Almighty.
Exactly.
When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt. Think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
We wot not what is become of him.
Yeah.
Do not be as I used to be years ago. Do not think as I used to think years ago that impatience is merely trying to get ahead of God.
Yeah.
You ever thought that way?
Yeah.
Well, impatience is just trying to get ahead of God. It is much worse than that.
Yes, sir.
Impatience is unbelief in its festering form.
Yeah.
You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Impatience is unbelief in its festering form. All throughout this, we find murmuring and murmuring and murmuring. But they never sought other gods. See it? They murmured over water, but they were thirsty.
Yeah.
But don't ever murmur when it comes to God Almighty. He just delivered you from Egypt.
Amen.
And you're worried about a glass of water? He let you walk dry shod through the Red Sea.
Amen.
And you're worried about a glass of water? He fed you for 400 years as slaves. And you leave out fat and happy.
Yes, sir.
You've just had a full meal on roasted lamb and bitter herbs and wine.
Yes, sir.
And unleavened bread. And you go out with shoes on your feet, having spoiled the Egyptians. and you murmur and complain. And now it's nothing more than impatience. But look where impatience leads. Again, I say it. Impatience is not just trying to get ahead of God. Impatience is unbelief festering.
Yes, sir.
Now, someone may say, "Preacher, you say nothing good about man. I have not even scratched the surface as to how bad we are in God's sight in the past 34 years that I've tried to preach the gospel. I haven't even scratched the surface yet."
You're right.
Impatience is now gratification.
Yeah.
Impatience is me now.
That's it.
Impatience is I.
Amen.
When unchecked, patience leads to scoffing, disdain. It can even lead to idolatry.
Yes, sir.
That's how serious impatience is. Have you ever? I know what some of us, we're not. I don't think we're trying to make fun, but we say, "I don't pray for patience because tribulation worketh patience." You don't want impatience to rule your life.
That's right. Exactly.
We live in a me, I, self generation.
That's right.
We live in a "I gotta have it now" generation. And that's why most of us, when we reach into our billfolds or our pocketbooks, they are crammed full of plastic. That we pay well over double for everything we buy. Why? Because I got to have it now. Got to have it now. And I'm not here to preach against credit cards. It's not my point. I'm just trying to make a point.
Exactly.
When unchecked, it leads to scoffing, disdain for God.
Yes.
For God. And it can even lead to idolatry. Here's number two. Impatience. You say, "Not more, preacher." Yes, there's more here. Impatience, when left unchecked, breeds error amidst everybody that's surrounded by the impatience.
Yes, sir.
You see it? Verse 2 and 3. "And Aaron said unto them." Now, what should have Aaron said unto them?
Yeah.
"Just wait on God."
Amen.
But this is Aaron. Moses' mouthpiece.
Yeah.
You see it? "And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron." I remember preaching on this many years ago when we were at Browns Road, at Browns Road Sovereign Grace Church. And I preached on the radio from this subject, and one of the only letters I ever got was, "Where is that in the Bible? Where is it at really in the Bible that men wore earrings?" No, I'm serious. That is sad. We're dealing here with a very serious subject, and the only thing that poor woman could think about was, what was that passage where you read that men wore earrings? God help us. And I used to be brought up in that kind of religion.
Yeah.
You thought you were something when you knew the shortest verse of the Bible. Well, that's not much to it. It's Jesus wept. It's two words. It's not hard to remember, is it?
Exactly.
It's no great spiritual attainment.
No.
And it's no great spiritual enlightenment to find out that men wore earrings.
Exactly.
Lord, help us. When unchecked, the whole point here is impatience breeds error amongst everybody that's subjected to it.
Yes, sir.
Paul put it this way, and you can read the words in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, and there the main subject is the resurrection of the dead.
Yeah.
And how important the doctrine, yea, even more, it is the doctrine, but the truth of the resurrection of the dead, how important it is. It's important because if it's not true, we're liars.
Yeah.
Because we're preaching Jesus Christ was raised from the dead.
Amen.
And if there is no resurrection of the dead, we're still in our sins.
Amen.
But he used this phrase. But it applies to much more than just one doctrine.
Yeah.
Paul put it this way. Evil communications. He doesn't mean what you say here.
Yeah.
Although that certainly would be included. It means evil associations.
Yeah.
Evil communications or evil associations corrupt good manners. Don't ever think I'm knowledgeable enough to withstand the error.
There you go. You're right.
Because first of all, knowledge does first what? It puffs up.
Exactly.
And if you puffed up, you've already got a problem at the get-go.
Amen. That's right.
Evil communications, evil associations corrupt good manners. Who you deal with, who you associate with, will, without fail, affect your spiritual life.
That's true. Yeah.
It just will. Because this is God's ordained order.
Yeah.
God said you associate with the wrong people, the wrong places, the wrong things, it's going to affect you.
Yeah.
Joe, some it will damn forever.
Yeah.
Some it will make them miserable in this life. Spiritually speaking, impatience may well be the mother of apostate religion. Verse 4. And he received them at their hand. What? All of these golden earrings. And isn't it kind of, he didn't ask for golden bracelets, golden necklaces. Why? Because the problem was they weren't hearing. They weren't hearing. Now, Aaron wasn't doing this trying to point out something, but he only asked for the earrings.
Yeah.
And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. That is, it had just an outward form. And then he took tools and carved that thing so you could tell exactly what it was.
Yep.
Right?
Yes, sir.
He put it in a form, in a mold. You could kind of tell a little bit what it was, but then he took tools and carved it out of this gold so you could tell exactly what this thing was.
Yes, sir.
And they said, "These be thy gods."
Yeah.
Blasphemy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Blasphemy. "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up." What? Not even that's going to get us the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Do you see how they're contradicting themselves?
Yeah.
False religion always contradicts itself.
Yes, sir.
It speaks, as we say, out both sides of their mouth.
You're right.
Now, there are things in God's Word that are beyond our comprehension.
Oh, yeah.
But everything in this book is as we say, when it comes to the doctrine of who man is and who God is, it's in black and white. It's written here for us. It's even translated into our own language in this country so that we can read God's Word. "These be thy gods." And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. What? He built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." What? Do you see Aaron joining or trying to join the worship of Jehovah with the worship of a golden calf?
Yes, sir.
Ludicrous!
Yeah.
But that's what we are by nature.
Amen.
For the sake of argument, the best among us, if we compare ourselves amongst ourselves,
yeah,
the best among us, this is where impatience leads.
Yes, sir.
Mark it down. If it goes unchecked, this is where it leads. And they rose up early in the morrow and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They had a big party.
Yes, sir. That's right. And
folks, that is what this apostate religion called Christianity in our day does just about every day of the week, and especially on Sundays and Wednesdays. Impatience will lead to the mixing of the worship of idols with the worship of Christ. Do you know that?
Yeah.
What do you mean, preacher? I mean this. There are people today that worship man's will more than they worship God's will.
You're right.
And they call it free will.
You're right.
Free will is a damnable heresy.
Amen.
Man's will is called this in the book of God, self-will.
Sir.
That's what it's called. We don't deny man's got a will. We're just saying man's will is as corrupt as his heart.
Amen.
Because the book of Deuteronomy tells us the will is motivated by man's heart. And God said, what about our heart?
Exactly.
It is desperately wicked. Wait a minute. More above all things. Above all things. It will deceive you.
Amen.
It will deceive you. My heart deceives me. Your heart deceives you.
Amen.
The problem with being deceived is you don't know it.
Exactly.
Or you wouldn't be deceived.
That's right.
Here they are joining the worship of Jehovah with this golden calf.
Yeah.
I'd never do that. You do that every time you brag about yourself.
Yeah.
You do that every time you perform a good work.
Yeah.
And you think God's looking down on you, smiling about it.
Yeah. Right.
That's why the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11, all the way through chapter 7 and verse 1, and he's speaking to professed Christians. Come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Because light cannot have fellowship with darkness. The temple of God cannot have fellowship with the temple of Belial.
That's right. Amen.
Come out from among them. Don't think like they think. Don't believe like they believe. Don't worship like they worship. Don't conduct yourself like they conduct themselves.
Exactly.
It's not because we're better than they are. The fact we need the command lets us know we're just like they are.
Exactly.
And we do the same thing they would do, just like Aaron did.
Yes, sir.
Verse 19, it came to pass as soon as he came down to the camp, that is Moses, because God said, get down. They've corrupted themselves. Verse 19, it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh to the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and break them beneath the mount. God had just used his finger. Who is God with a finger? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Moses takes that thing and breaks them two tablets. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?
Yeah.
Well, Moses, Aaron, they must have twisted your arm.
Exactly.
They must have backed you in the corner and told you we're going to kill you. No, they just come and said, make us other gods.
Yeah.
You see a little bit of impatience in even Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
As one has said, the best of men is but man at best. And man is a fallen creature in Adam. And by God's grace, I'll never have anything good to say about man when you compare man to God's law and God Himself. We can compare ourselves one to another, and some of us stand head and shoulders above another, but it's just one worm trying to puff themselves up by looking at other worms.
Exactly.
And saying, I'm just a little bit better worm than you are.
Exactly.
And think about it. Think about it. It does not even have to be pagan idolatry.
Hmm? Right.
You remember what Paul said about to the church at Galatia? He said there were some false brethren. Not a bunch of heathen idolaters that come in. False brethren come in, was trying to preach up circumcision.
Yep.
They were not denying Jesus Christ as the Messiah.
No.
but they were preaching up something that you had to add to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And if you add anything to the person and work of Jesus Christ, it is idolatrous religion.
Amen.
It is the mixing of the religion of this world with the religion of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Paul puts it this way. A little leaven. A little leaven. This is, again, God's ordained it this way. A little leaven does what? Leavens the whole lump.
Amen.
You see, error always endangers the truth. Truth never sanctifies error.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, at least we believe in the fundamentals. Jesus Christ was virgin born. The devils know that.
Yes, sir.
The devils know that. They know He's the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
And Paul, go back together to Galatians 2, verses 1 through 5. He said, these false brethren, I withstood them, no, not for an hour.
Yeah.
In other words, I will not put up with their idolatry, with their error, with their heresy, with their blasphemy. Some folks think, well, you and people like you are just too dogmatic. This is not my honor that's in question here. This is God's honor in the person of His Son that's at question here. And He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You listen to Him.
Amen.
You listen to Him. He said, look to Christ.
Amen.
Here's a third thought. God uses warnings to accomplish His design. Verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down for thy people. Did you see that?
Amen.
He didn't say,
yeah,
my people. Now, God willing, next Sunday, when we get to chapter 33, we will look at this a little more in detail. But just one verse of Scripture here to whet your interest. Paul said this, they are not all Israel, which are of Israel.
Amen.
They were Moses' people.
Yeah.
But they weren't all God's people.
That's right.
God is not playing games here.
No, sir. That's right.
God's not changing His mind here. God is now revealing to Moses something that Moses may not have fully considered before.
Yeah.
Not all of these are truly Israelites.
Exactly.
The Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Right after, this couldn't have taken more than a few hours. They all brought golden earrings. Aaron melted it down, fixed the form, put it in that form, and then started carving it out. Said, here it is. They just said, Moses delivered us out of the land. Now they're making a god to worship and saying, that delivered us out of that land.
Exactly.
It's called the religion of total madness.
Yeah, there you go.
It's not just inconsistency. All of us are inconsistent in some things. We read this book, we think we understand things, we think we got point A and point B and point C all in a row, and as the years go by, you find out point C actually was point A.
Exactly.
And point B was probably Z.
Yeah, right.
Maybe even point A. We find these things out about ourselves. Why? Because we're fallen, finite creatures.
Amen.
But there is one thing that's point A. That's Jesus Christ and His personal work.
Amen.
That's always point A.
Yes.
Always point A. Somebody said, but what if? What if? God said, look, let's go on. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 9, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. We'll read that several more times as we go along in the next few chapters. A stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And somebody said, well, what if the warning is not heeded, destruction will come.
Yes,
What about God's covenant? If the warning is not heeded, destruction will come.
Amen.
Well, I believe there's an election. That's all well and good. But God chose that the elect believe through the preaching of the gospel.
Yeah.
Having been set apart by the Spirit of God for that belief of the gospel. And that's what He chose them to. And if that don't take place in you, election don't earn you or get you anything. You are not one of the elect unless God the Spirit sets you apart to believe the truth through the preaching of the gospel.
Right.
Those things are not like this. They're like this. They're like this. They're not just twin graces. They're conjoined twin graces.
Go.
But, isn't it amazing? God arranged a mediator to fill the gap.
Amen.
Verse 11 and 12. Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against this, and I like what he said, thy people. Because that's what really matters.
Amen.
Okay? You could be a part of this group. I could be a part of this group. And we still perish in hell. You got to be one of God's people. You got to be one of God's people. You might not, you may live for you can't get to this group or another group. But you better be one of God's people.
Amen.
Why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt and great with great power and with mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains? But guess what? He did!
Yeah.
Did he not? For 40 years, he killed everybody that was over 20 years old.
That's right. Amen.
God did exactly what he said he was going to do.
Yes, sir.
And his covenant still stood what? Intact.
Amen.
Intact. Why? Because there was in that group, that elect nation, an actually elected people in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And folks, that's the way it's... We've started from Genesis and worked our way through. We see that every step of the way, do we not?
Yes, sir.
Adam and Eve had two sons, didn't they?
Yep.
Two sons. One was a reprobate, one was elect.
Yes, sir.
And it manifested itself in time.
Yes, it did.
Did it not? And you could follow that right on down the line. Right on down the line. And it becomes more pronounced and pronounced as the history of Israel moves forward. Where God at times says, it's only a tenth. Think about that. Of this vast nation of Israel.
Yeah.
In some of the days of the prophets, he was telling Isaiah, only a tenth. A tenth. You see, Christ does this, just as we read Moses doing. But Christ does it because he is the covenant. Christ declares the covenant of promise before the Father.
That's right.
Christ, and I... Please forgive me for putting it this way. I wish I had a better way. But Christ reminds the Father of the Holy Covenant by His mere presence.
Amen.
And is He not in God's presence for us?
Amen.
Look what Moses said. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants?
Yes.
Now see, God still, He slaughtered these people.
Yeah.
All of these adults, every one of them, their carcasses, is the way the book puts it. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness.
Amen.
Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people right then. Now that's, I know it don't, but right then, because again, remember, this impatience, because they remained a stiff-necked people, never subsided.
Exactly. That's right.
Well, think about it. It takes them 2 years to get from Egypt, thereabouts, 2 years to get from Egypt to Sinai, and from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea.
Yep.
Most of that, there was murmuring from the get-go. This is just 2 years. The reason it took 2 years, but they say from Sinai thereabouts. We don't know exactly where it's at, but from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, Barnea is an 11-day trip. It took them almost another year to get there. Why? They were incorporating all of this worship when God gave them the tabernacle and everything. And God would move them a little bit, and they'd set up camp, and then the cloud would hover right there. And they did not move again until God moved in the cloud, right? But when they came to Kadesh Barnea, then all of this murmuring and impatience festered up in rank unbelief.
Yes, sir.
Moses sent in 12 spies.
Yes.
Two came back and said, "We can take them. We'll have them for lunch." That's what they said. They said, "They're bread to us. What do you think? We'll have them for lunch." But 10 said, "We can't do it."
Yeah.
And they were ready to stone Joshua and Caleb and Moses.
Oh, yeah.
Go to kill them.
Yeah.
To keep from going in and getting the land God had promised Israel.
Exactly.
That's religion.
Yes, sir.
God said, "You will not enter in."
Amen.
Hebrews, Old Testament, and Hebrews in the New Testament use it. God swore in His wrath. They shall not enter therein.
Amen.
And this wrath that God had right here found its mark.
Yes, sir.
It just didn't find its mark right here at this time.
Exactly.
But here was Israel's great sin. This is where all this thing, all this festering and festering and festering finally comes to a head. And Tim James put it this way. Here is unbelief at its core. They said, "We can't go in." God said, "Well, then you go die in the wilderness." They said, "We can't have that. We will go in."
Yeah.
And they did. But they lost the battle.
Yes, sir.
That's unbelief. When God says you, when God says go in, you say we can't. When God says you can't, you say we will.
Right.
That's unbelief. Yeah. If this wasn't a change from belief, unbelief to belief, God had said you're going to die in the wilderness. God meant you're going to die in the wilderness. You see, human will gets you nothing but damnation.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm glad I got a free will. Your will ain't free.
Exactly.
It's as corrupt as you are.
Yeah.
My will is as corrupt as I am.
Yes, sir.
But here, number four. Even the most faithful men among us can be hoodwinked.
Yeah.
Verse 15. Moses turned. Went down from the mount. Two tables of testimony were in his hands. The tables which were written on both sides. The one on the one side and on the other side were they written. And the tables were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God.
Yes.
Graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people, as they shouted, he said unto Moses, "There's a noise of war in the camp." Moses says, "Bless God, Joshua, this ain't war." You see, even Joshua was hoodwinked here, wasn't he? Moses, there's war down there. There's a battle going on. Moses said, "No, this is a big party."
Yeah.
This is a big party. And he said, "It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery that's got the upper hand. Neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, that is, they're getting whipped. But the noise of them that do sing, do I hear." Let me tell you something. As we see Moses here, God's law tells us exactly what's right and exactly what's wrong. And that's never changed.
Exactly.
It's still wrong to fornicate.
Yes, sir.
It's still wrong to lie on your neighbor.
Amen.
Do you understand me? It's still wrong not to honor your mother and father.
Yes, sir.
It's still wrong not to love God with everything you are.
Yes.
Hmm? God's law will tell you exactly what's right and wrong.
Amen.
But unless God gives you eyes to truly see it, you won't realize the only thing I ever do is wrong.
Exactly.
Even if you could say, the will's present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Because I find this inner thing in me that when I would do good, evil's present with me.
Yes.
Irritating me. Tempting me. Seeking to draw impatience and murmuring and complaint. And that's in us too.
Yes, sir.
Even as believers, oh God, just help us to realize it.
Yeah.
Does it not say if we confess our sins, He's just and faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the first thing before you can confess your sins, you got to admit they're there.
Amen.
You got to quit trying to justify them and make them something else. Quit trying to mix them with the worship of God, thinking you're going to baptize your sins. They are what they are.
Yes.
And even if you feel you can't escape from them, claim them as what they are. Sin against God.
Yes.
Don't try to join it to the worship of Christ. So again I say, even the most faithful among us can be hoodwinked. Paul told us this, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Well, this wouldn't affect me. This wouldn't affect me. Oh, that's what it affects us.
You're right.
Peter said, Lord, I'll die for you.
Yeah.
And he meant that because he took that sword out.
Yes,
in front of that mob who had weapons, as we'll see in a moment. And he was ready to defend his Lord.
Yes, he was.
But that was the power of his flesh. The power of his flesh. Romans chapter 11, Paul was talking about Israel, national Israel, and many have been broken off. And he said, now you Gentiles, you go, well, they were broken off, so I might be grafted in. That's true.
That's true. Yes, sir.
But because of unbelief, they were broken off.
That's right.
No man perishes just because God determined just some people die and go to hell. They go to hell because of their sin. They go to hell because of their rebellion. Works can't save you, but your works can certainly damn you. And I don't know how to stay. I don't have to make those two fit together, Mason. Your works can't save you, but your works can certainly damn you. Flee to Christ. Flee to Christ.
Yes, sir.
In Galatians chapter 6, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Now, not spiritual as opposed to carnal. There were men in Galatia who were not spiritual men. They were apostate teachers.
Exactly.
If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore them in the spirit of meekness. But do what?
Yeah.
Considering yourself.
Yeah,
lest thou also be tempted. Don't think, oh, I can handle this. No, you'll be right in the middle of it.
Exactly.
Unless God Almighty restrains you.
Amen.
Unless He restrains you. Number 5. There comes a time that we must take sides.
Yes, sir.
Yes or no?
Yes, sir.
There comes a time that you must take sides. Verse 25. And when Moses saw the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, which one of you didn't commit this sin? Is that what he said? Even his brother was caught up in the middle of it.
That's right.
Right? No, he said, who's on the Lord's side?
Yeah.
Come over here to me. Isn't that what it said?
Yeah.
Now, are you on Christ's side? Then flee to Christ. Take a stand.
Yes.
Take a stand. Well, I just don't want to say anything. Take a stand. Well, I'm just going to keep quiet. Take a stand.
Amen.
For Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Well, I don't want to get in turmoil. Take a stand for Jesus Christ. I don't want to cause trouble. You're already in enough trouble. Take a stand with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It comes to taking sides. And it comes to taking sides with God, one against myself.
Yes, sir.
Today, if you hear His voice, I don't care who you are. He's writing to believers.
Yes, sir.
In the Hebrew epistle. Today, if you will hear His voice, don't you harden your hearts like those Jews did back yonder. Because you'll suffer the same fate they did. Christ said, if you deny me before men, this is what He said.
Yeah.
If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father.
That's right.
But if you confess me, well, in your own little secret way, at home, or by yourself, anybody said it. If you'll confess me before men. I tell you what, you say you believe Christ, you better go in the water. That's the first place after faith. It's the first step you take. You go in the water. And you say, I'm committed. I'm going on to Christ's side.
Yes, sir.
I'm taking a stand publicly.
Yes. Yeah, that's it.
Baptism is the answer of a good conscience. Now, if you don't got one, you won't do it. But if you got one that is a good conscience, you'll seek to do it. It is that clear. You see, baptism ain't going to save you. But God says be baptized. If you tell God, that's the one thing I ain't going to do is be baptized, you'll go to hell for it. Now, do you hear what I just said? You hear what I said? You don't tell God what you will or will not do. I don't tell God what I will or will not do. One preacher said, one man told him one time, said, I've walked aisles, walked aisles, walked aisles, and I'll never walk another aisle in my life, preacher. He said, well, you'll go to hell then. Because you don't have to walk an aisle to be saved. That's what the preacher said. You don't have to walk an aisle to be saved, but you don't tell God what you won't do.
Exactly.
You know what walking the aisle is, really? It's a public confession of Christ. If you do it, believing Christ. That's what it's about.
Amen.
It's about saying to the people of God, I join up with you. I'm moving over to your side. Everybody was on the other side to start with.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Moses didn't say now everybody's... Nobody was with Moses but one. That's Joshua.
Yeah.
And Joshua had already been, you know, hoodwinked on this deal. I can just imagine what it was like when Joshua came down and see all these... He thought it was a war and he could see all these naked people dancing around and partying. And a golden calf. He thinks, boy, I missed that one. You ever missed one like that? You want to take sides against with God against yourself, and you will take sides with God against everything else. Matthew 10:32-39, Christ teaches us this principle. Nothing will compete with me.
Yes.
Your mommy and daddy will not compete with me. If you love your mommy and daddy more than you love me, you ain't fit for Christ. That is, God ain't worked on you yet.
Yeah.
See, he said, you're not worthy. That's why he said, not worthy. Well, who is worthy? Those that God Almighty's worked a work of regeneration in their heart.
Amen.
They got a good heart, and the good seed falls on the good heart. And then it does what? It takes sides with Christ against themselves and everything else in this world.
Amen.
You see, Jesus Christ will be loved supremely, or he's not loved at all. He's not loved at all. Number 6. We see in verses 30-35, I'm not even going to read it, but other than mention one thing. Chapter 32, verses 30-35, we see one who will then stand in the gap for a people. And I like this one verse, verse 32. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin. And notice how they put the punctuation. In other words, there's really no explaining what Moses was trying to get. Because Moses knew they needed forgiveness of sin. You understand that?
Exactly right. Yeah.
There is that punctuation don't even exist in the Hebrew,
yeah.
And I think they put it in there just trying to let us know this is a marvelous thing. Look what he said. Now, if thou wilt not forgive their sin, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not,
yeah,
blot me out. In other words, take me instead of them. Isn't that what he's saying?
Mm-hmm.
Punish me and not them. Moses had done nothing wrong.
That's right.
Now, according to Hebrews, we know Moses could not do, and God was not going to do what Moses asked him to do here. Go back and read it. Hebrews chapter 3, you'll see it. Moses was a faithful servant, but
yes,
Moses was just Moses.
Exactly.
But there is one who stood in the gap. There is one who stood in the gap.
Yes, sir.
Now think about it. There's a couple other things I was going to say, but I want you to turn to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. I kind of hopefully whetted your appetite for that thing. Look at it. Verse 3 of John chapter 18. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came thither with lanterns and torches and weapons.
Yeah.
You see that? Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth. He didn't sit back and even wait for them to get to him. He seen them coming. He knew exactly what was going on. That's the whole reason he came into this world.
Amen.
And he went forth and said to them, whom seek ye?
Yeah.
And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am.
Yeah.
And that's what he really said. Not I am he. He said, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. He could have put a stop to this right then and there.
Yes, sir.
But yet he couldn't. And I went, Mason, I don't have to explain that. He could have put a stop. He said, I could call down legions of angels.
That's exactly right.
That's when he hung on the cross, wasn't it? But yet at the same time, he couldn't, Joe.
Exactly.
Because he and the Father had made a covenant that he'd go through this. But then look at this glorious thing. And they asked him, I can see them all. They fell down backwards. And I'm sure they're a little dazed. They didn't know what hit them, Mason.
Exactly.
They didn't know what hit them. Then ask he them again. You see it? Who do you seek? Who are you after? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Now look at this next verse. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If therefore ye seek me, let these. Who's he talking about?
Yeah.
The 11.
Yes, sir.
You let these go their way.
Yeah.
What was he saying? You got two options. You can have me or them, but you can't have both.
That's true.
You see that? Do you understand what I'm getting at here? Jesus said you can have me or them, but bless God, you can't have both. If you take me, you're going to let these people. Now, this wasn't a question. He didn't ask them a question. He's telling them what's going to be. God Almighty's holy law and holy justice took Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It took him in hand.
Yes, sir.
Punished him as a sinner under the wrath and judgment of God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
And God Almighty says in the person of His Son, you can have me, but you can't have those for whom I died.
Amen.
You take me, these are going to go free.
Amen.
Hmm? Now, which side are you going to stand on?
Amen.
Make a choice. I don't have no problem saying that. Make a choice. Who's on the Lord's side? Go stand with Christ or stay where you're at. Is that not where it boils down to? Flee to Christ's side, stand with Him, or stand where you were.
Yes, sir.
It will be one or the other. There is no in between.
Exactly.
There is no in between. Let's stand and sing number 332. I don't know if you'd play that one for us.